Good morning, your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Your weekly report brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service in Avon. Well, yeah, stop on over hours this morning right off Interstate I-94, County Road 50. In this week, we feature our conversation with Minnesota Milk Executive Director Lucas Shostrom, as Lucas and other board members with Minnesota Milk recently traveling to Washington, D.C. to talk dairy and egg issues with our state and national lawmakers.
Yeah, we had four dairy farmer board members of ours at Minnesota Milk, and that's four of our nine board members, so a pretty nice contingent. That was Ron Miller from Little Falls, and we had Bob Dombeck from Purim from up here, and then from farther south, Shelley DePestel from Lewiston, and Rick Smith from Adams. And we went out there, met with half of the Minnesota delegation, also met with what we call three of the four corners, the House Ag minority and majority in the Senate and the House. We only missed one of those offices. It was a different scene, but we got a lot done, and it's work, it's fun, it's both, but I kept them busy. We had about 30 minutes of sightseeing, and otherwise it was meetings, and time well spent.
Now, did you have a certain list of priorities going out there with, or?
Yeah, one of the biggest issues, the reason we flew out there now, there's a lawsuit. It's been kind of mentioned here and there, but there's a lawsuit that just got settled, or not settled, but the judgment was delivered related to crop insurance. And there is this sticky issue with a July 15th declaration that you make to the FSA office. And those of us who plant silage are listening to our local insurance agents and listening to our local FSA offices, but evidently could be and likely are, quote unquote, breaking federal law. So we're trying to get that cleared up. Everybody we talk to, all eight offices we talk to are totally on board with fixing it, but it's just how and when. And, I know I'm saying this on the radio right now, but at the same time, we're trying to tell the ag audience about it, but we don't want activists to find out because this could unleash a string of lawsuits. And at the same time, would probably allow for counter suits because our insurance agents are enthralled in this. So that was kind of the reason we went out now. And I think everybody's on the same team here. We just want to get some clarity on the issue. But the other three issues that we talked about were trade. Obviously, we just want to encourage more trade with more countries. We want to kind of clarify what Canada's done right and wrong in the USMCA agreement. And we're glad to see, basically, the minute we hit the ground back in Minnesota, Ranking Member G.T. Thompson and a number of Republicans and Democrats from Minnesota signed a letter to put more pressure on our trade ambassador, Catherine Tai, to pressure Canada. And then the final issue we were talking about is in the Build Back Better bill, which will no longer be called the Build Back Better bill. I don't know if it'll be Build Back Worser or Greater or Lesser. But in there is $27 billion for conservation. And we just want to tell them, please don't create new programs. We are undersubscribed for EQIP all the time. We run out of money. So if we do find more conservation money in somebody's pockets, please just put it into EQIP. We need farmers to shore up their manure lagoons and those sorts of situations.
Lucas Shostrom, Minnesota Milk Executive Director, joining us this morning. Going back to Canada, can you clarify exactly what they're not doing right or living up on their end of that USMCA agreement?
Yeah, it'd be like a lot like you're driving down the road and the speed limit's 65 and you say, oh, well, I'm going to start measuring in kilometers. So I'm not going 65 anymore. I'm going 120, but it's okay. They just continually see the rules, say, yes, we will follow those rules and adhere to them. So what they're actually doing is we have four classes of milk here in the U.S. They have about seven there, but they keep adding, oh, this isn't class seven, it's class 7B. This isn't class six, this is class 6C. And how trade works is we have a bunch of product that we allow in at each of those classes, and then after a certain level, there's tariffs and other taxes, so to speak, that come on. And so if you say, oh, this product, I know it looks like it's orange, but it's actually blue, so we don't owe tariffs on it, you get around those. This happens, trade between us and Canada on dairy, as most know listening, it's a quota system, so it doesn't happen that often, except for on ingredients. And that really happens in upstate New York and lower Ontario and lower Quebec. They're trading ingredients back and forth all the time. So it does come back and impact prices here in Minnesota and across the whole country. So it is really important that we get that right.
When it comes to trade, what are some possibilities? Are we looking at like India and Africa and that kind of area?
Yeah, the Middle East and Africa continues to be an area of focus, but I think the agreement that we're looking for most is the Indo-Pacific, the Indian and Pacific area. That seems to be the trade agreement that we're working on now. We have no access to India. We have various degrees of access in different parts of the Pacific, and that's one they're working on now. The other issues that have kind of subsided is just Europe. There's lots of product origination names disagreements, and so just a reminder of what names that we think should be universal. We don't think that someone should be able to, a country should be able to own cheddar. We're all using that and have been for a long time. We're mindful that maybe some products should be made some places, but we've made Asiago in America for a very long time, and we don't like the idea that some countries have that Osseo should be a protected name, that only people in the places where Asiago originated can be made. So those are some of the trade issues, and also encouraging the administration just to reach out for more. There's obviously a lot going on in the world, but our markets are helped and strengthened when we diversify that opportunity.
Lucas, finally, did you guys touch on Farm Bill at all?
We were gearing up for Farm Bill. So all of this, you know, the odds in an election year of any of this moving are not great, but we wanted to confirm we really like the dairy options we have now. Is it perfect? No. But if you think back 10 years, it's 2022, 2012, we did not have dairy margin coverage. We were working on what was the MPP program that didn't work very well. We did not have dairy revenue protection. We didn't really have LGM in its current form. And so we wanted to clarify, these are working better than we've ever had before. We really would like to see the cap on DMC, dairy margin coverage, go from 5 million to about 9 million pounds, because that allows people shipping a tanker every other day. That's kind of where we all start competing. So we think that's a natural cutoff. There won't be money for that, but at least think about those farms who keep adding family members. And finally, the crop insurance issue would be part of the Farm Bill.
Is it more difficult to, would you say, when it comes to the dairy side, okay, we have good numbers right now, if milk futures are solid, is it harder to advocate then when it comes to Farm Bill or policy when things are good instead of bad, or not necessarily?
I think that, well, that's a good question, first of all, but I think it puts us in a strong position to say, hey, the risk management stuff's working. We've made it through here. It's nice to not be going and begging for things. That, you know, being in the opposite range is definitely a problem. But every office we talked to was very mindful of input costs, and nobody had the impression that, oh, farmers are just going to make wild profits. Obviously, I think dairy has and deserves some opportunity here in the 12 months ahead. But nobody was saying, well, you know, you guys are doing too well. That wasn't an issue. So that's good. No, I think we want risk management for the lows, and we need to keep the opportunity on the highs. And past 5, 6, 7 years, we've missed out more years than not. So those risk management programs showed their worth.
Minnesota Milk Executive Director Lucas Sjostrom joining us here on CASM Radio as he stopped in studio Friday morning on his way down to St. Paul in the state capital. It is your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. It's brought to you each and every Saturday by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. They got hours 8 till noon this morning. That's all at Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon.